Good morning, everyone. It's very important for us to understand predestination and election. Good morning, Troy Sharbrough. Glad to have you with me this morning. You know, from the time that I was very young, and even for most Americans, from the time they learn English, the English language, they're taught in Sunday school and church that God loves everybody without exception, and that he sent his son to die for the sins of the whole world. And they are told that that is why Christ died on a cruel and rugged cross, is to make it possible that all men and women could be saved from going to hell. However, they are also told that you're not going to hell. It's entirely up to you by letting Jesus into your heart and believing upon him. And until you make a decision to do this, you will be eternally lost. But when you decide to let him into your heart and believe upon Jesus, you are then saved and will gain entry into eternal bliss, heaven, when you die. Unfortunately, this is one of the greatest lies ever perpetrated on mankind. The Bible makes it clear that man has not one part or parcel in determining his own eternal destiny or salvation, because he was born and conceived in a condition of spiritual death. The Bible also clear that God is the one who determines everyone's destiny, whether it be heaven or hell, before they are even born. The biblical terms of predestination and election, foreordination, ordination, and such like point out the eternal predetermination by God of those who would be his children and those who would not be his children. And, you know, God's salvation is not a potential salvation. It is not a possibility salvation. Amen, Troy. Ephesians. Amen. Now, the interesting part of the importance of understanding election and predestination is that it puts God on his throne where he rightfully is. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And we also find that in John 17:2, that he has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given him. We find in John 6:37, all that the Father hath given him will come to him, and all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. And by the way, all of those that are given to him by the Father will come to him. All that the Father hath given him will come to him. Welcome aboard, Emmanuel Rahu Bamu. Welcome aboard. So, what a wonderful promise that is to his people. We will be brought to repentance. We will be brought to faith. We will be brought to recognize our need of a Savior. You know, he is only is our rock and our salvation. He is our defense. We will not be moved. We will not be ashamed, for we know we have believed on the only Son of God. We're told in Hebrews that God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the force is he entered even Jesus. One of the things, that's another reason why it's so important to understand these wonderful biblical doctrines of election and predestination, is that when we understand that this was all in the purposes and counsel of God to send his son to redeem his people, he came to save his people from their sins, we also more clearly understand the nature and purpose of the atonement. Jesus' death on the cross was very, very purposeful. It was purposeful. He came to save his people from their sins. He didn't come to save the whole world. John 3:16, I knew a fellow one time and he told me my whole theology is based on John 3:16. But he misinterpreted John 3:16. Welcome aboard, Jill Hayes. He misinterpreted John 3:16. He took one verse and built his whole theology 3:16. Many, many other people have done that. They don't consider the rest of the third chapter of John. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I've often asked the question, who are the whosoevers? Well, the whosoevers are the ones that believe in him. That's who God gave his son for, whosoever believed in him. And where does belief come from? It's very important to have the discussion regarding the origin of faith. Where does faith come from? We're told in Hebrews 12:2 that he, Jesus Christ, is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that authored it. It came from him. It didn't come from someone who's dead in their trespasses and sin. And why does anyone have faith? And by the way, the faith is not their faith. The faith is the faith of Christ. Why does anyone have the faith of Christ? Because it's been given to them. It's a gift. Fish, Charbroil says. Ephesians 2:8, right? And so it's very important for us to understand the origin of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of yourselves, not of free will. Free will does not exist. It's a lie. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, predestinate. Have you ever thought about that word, predestinate? A lot of people don't want to talk about predestination. They say that if you believe in the doctrine of predestination, it makes you a fatalist. No, it's the furthest thing from that. Fate is absent of God. Fate is absent of God. Predestination means that God himself predetermines before it happens what happens. We were chosen in him from the foundation of the world, before creation. Okay, that means predetermined before we were born to be recipients of his grace. God's supremacy is certain. You know, what we need in our society today is a good dose of the absolute sovereignty of God. Absolute sovereignty of God. We are elect, chosen before creation. We're called out from the world. We have been given eternal life, not temporary life, found in His Son through His precious blood. He gives His elect water for the thirsty and food for the hungry. We're quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. He told Nicodemus, "The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God." We're told that in Scripture that none seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us, his elect, the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. It's marvelous for us to think about that Jesus came from the ivory palaces above and laid his life down freely for his people. We are not worthy of it. There's nothing in us to boast why he would call us from death to life like he did Lazarus. Like he told Zacchaeus. He said, "I must abide at thy house today." Zacchaeus was one of God's little sheep, and he heard his voice, and he came down from the tree. Christ is the one that gives sight to the blind and gives hearing to the deaf ear, spiritual sight, spiritual hearing. You know, the golden chain of salvation can be found in Romans 8, 28 through 36. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, the doctrine of predestination is a beautiful doctrine. You know, Arminians don't teach the doctrine of election because they believe that their free will is what saves them. Catholicism doesn't teach the doctrine of election because they're trusting in the bloody mass. They're trusting in that wafer, the re-crucifying Christ all over again when they go to the mass. They don't uphold the atonement of Jesus Christ in its biblical manner at all. The perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ is elevated by the doctrines of election and predestination. Our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. All that the Father has given me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. The marks of God's people can be pointed to their upholding the doctrines of election and predestination and particular redemption. The total depravity of man. Irresistible grace. The final perseverance of the saints. We're told in the book of Jude that we've been sanctified, preserved, and called. So this morning, that's what's been on my mind, is that many people have attacked these wonderful doctrines that are taught not only by Jesus Christ, but in every one of the Paul's epistles, in the book of John. You know, you can find these great doctrines purported in Peter's epistles, We can find it in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. We can find God's sovereignty throughout his whole word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. We cannot separate our Creator from our Redeemer. And we cannot separate his attributes, okay, from who he is. His attributes are marvelous. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's immutable. He's never changing. He said, I am that I am. So this morning, let us proclaim without trying to water the doctrines down, let's proclaim the great doctrines of election. Let's not forget what Christ has done. You know, looking back in history, we see events unfold. And the greatest story in history is the greatest story ever told. It's not just a novel. No, this story is true, how God sent his son to die to redeem his chosen few. The plan was determined between the Trinity, and this great story in history would be a certainty. God would redeem his people, a ransom he would pay. Christ would be slain on Calvary in history on that day. You see, Scripture tells us that he was slain in eternity before the world began. It was predetermined. It was his master plan. Praise and thanksgiving we give to the Son, who in the courts of heaven with the three in one made provision for this sinner. Through his blood, the work was done. Well, I want to welcome aboard Johanna Emmanuel and Peter Gunn. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us this morning. I remember the first time I began to study the Bible and not listen to other people. And I found that these great doctrines were very special to me. And as I began to embrace these great doctrines, I also found that there was that could separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Because it was all predetermined. It was all a part of his plan. It's great assurance for the Christian to lay hold on the doctrines of election and predestination. And also, it's good to understand how the atonement sealed us. He sealed us with his own blood. All men were born and conceived in sin. This is a biblical fact. The only remedy for this sin is the eternal contract between the Father and the Son, the work of Christ did do. Dying on the cross, the work is finished too. Welcome aboard Oscar Graves. Welcome aboard Howard Jett. We've got a good group this morning. It's good to have you with us. A perfect sacrifice was Christ as he hung upon that tree, becoming our sin bearer, dying there for you and me. Born and conceived in sin, yes, that's also true for you and me, but our sins were atoned for and we were set free. Now we sing praises to our Lord and Savior who granted us this loving eternal favor. Yes, dying in our stead, even when we were born and conceived in sin, and the quickening Holy Spirit causing us to be born again. to our Lord and King, who through his perfect sacrifice our eternal life did bring. Are you denying the doctrine of predestination election? Are you denying that Jesus Christ specifically came to save his people from their sins? I hope not. You know, because if you think about it, all of God's elect has been given the faith of Christ. All faith, belief, and repentance comes from our Father above, delivered to us through the Spirit working by his eternal love. This gift of faith and salvation was an eternal decree given to us by the Father in past eternity, before the foundation of the world. We were adopted into Christ. This everlasting inheritance was purchased by a perfect sacrifice. Slain from the foundation of the world, it was decreed that Christ would die. He was manifested in time for such worms as you and I. Yes, all faith, belief, and repentance comes from our Father above, and God's people are secured forever by this eternal love. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever talked to someone about these two beautiful doctrines we're covering this morning, election and predestination? And you'll bring up certain scriptures to people about it, and they'll say, I don't hold to that doctrine. My father-in-law said one time, that's the most damnable doctrine in the Bible. Can you imagine someone saying that? He admitted it's in the Bible even, but said it was a damnable doctrine. It's not. It's the most beautiful doctrine that anyone ever could convey. All things, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And so this morning, I just wanted to remind everyone that if you hear someone attacking these beautiful doctrines of predestination, election, understand they're not just attacking predestination, election, they're also attacking the absolute perfect atonement of Jesus Christ. Because it's all tied together, isn't it? That's why we have the golden chain of salvation in Romans 8, 28 through 36. It's all tied together. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. He doesn't call everybody. He doesn't predestinate everybody. He doesn't justify everyone, and not everyone is going to be glorified. For those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those whom he predestinated, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, may the good Lord be with you all today. Is my prayer. Welcome aboard. Chile Yesertanam. And all the rest that will join us on YouTube or listen to this on Sermon Audio or Gab.com or Twitter or Reddit or blog or wherever you happen to see this broadcast. I pray that God would touch everyone that hears this message and cause them to flee to Jesus Christ, because that's the greatest evidence that was given him will come to him, and all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. God bless.